I didn't like my high school. Didn't have many friends and didn't enjoy my classes, and I wanted to get on.
And you were playing music regularly at this point, right?
In high school, yeah. I was in the marching band and the jazz band. My music education in high school was somewhat fractured by the fact that in the 3 years I was there, we had three different music teachers. It was too much turnaround for me to get myself established. The first year of university I did was at MIT. And what brought me there was that in my junior year, I had a couple of friends, Will Adams and Tom Hewitt and John D'Arcy, who were all into, like me, were into sound electronics, audio electronics.
Yeah.
And we loved listening to the effects that different components had on stereo sound, hi-fi geeks. Will Adams was working as a repairman at Pacific Stereo while still in high school. He was that good with electronics that, you know, people could bring him anything and he could fix it. And Tom Hewitt started the first cable-based radio station in the country. John became the original designer of the crossover network in the very first commercial subwoofer made by M&K. But anyway, with these guys, I did another IEP on electronics. I had seen at Pacific Stereo a graphic equalizer. And I had seen one at A&M Records where I snuck in. As soon as I got my driver's license, I went up to A&M Records and I talked my way in and I watched a recording session. And in the rack, there was this thing with all these knobs, and I'd always loved knobs.
Yeah.
And each knob was assigned a different frequency and you could add or take away frequencies.
Yeah.
Graphic equalizer. And I remember being enchanted by it. And so I went to Pacific Stereo and they had one, but I couldn't afford it. I remember I found a textbook by Bernard Grobe on basic electronics, and along with a book on radio communications by Schrader. They talked about the RCL circuit, resistor, capacitor, coil, choke, that would allow you to specify a particular target frequency in the audio range based on the values of those components, and there were equations for working it out. So I thought, well, I'll build my own equalizer, since I can't afford to buy one. I wrote away to some companies that manufactured slide pots, slide potentiometers, faders, and wrote away to and just, you know, asked for samples. They sent me some free samples. I imagine that most of the people who wanted samples would end up buying 1,000 of them at a time or 100,000 of them at a time.
Yeah.
I just needed 10 of them.
Yeah.
So they sent 10. Or three or four, however many it was that I needed.
Yeah,
I think I started small. I decided to do just four or five. But anyway, I got a circuit board. I etched it in acid. I had worked out the circuit, and I got all the resistors, capacitors, and coils. There were Army surplus stores where you get this stuff cheap. I spent maybe $8 in components. And so I built the thing, and then it occurred to me as I was putting it together, why should I be limited to these frequencies that I've calculated? You know, 60 hertz, 240 hertz, 1,000 hertz, 4,000 hertz. Why should I only be able to add and subtract at those precise frequencies? What if I could vary the frequency to my liking, depending on the piece of music? And I didn't know the word parametric at the time, but that's what I was thinking of. It was not a graphic equalizer, but a parametric equalizer. I thought, well, that should be easy. I could just swap out different resistors and capacitors and coils of different values, and then I can have any frequency I wanted. And I remembered when I was at the Army surplus store, they had these variable resistors. And I wondered if they had variable capacitors and variable coils. And then I remembered from my radio days, changing the tubes in the family radio, variable coil is what the tuner was on the radio. So I got some variable coils and I got some variable resistors and put knobs on them and built this parametric equalizer. Now it didn't work, and it was January of my junior year when I realized it didn't work, and I didn't know what the problem was, and I had John and Tom look at it, and we couldn't figure out if my circuit board etching skills were faulty. I remember I was interviewed by the admissions committee for MIT in January on early decision. And they asked me why I wanted to go to MIT, and I showed him, I showed the guy this circuit that I had made. I showed him the drawing of the circuit, and I showed him how I'd put it into this etched circuit board with components on it and wires and knobs. And I said, I can't get this thing to work, and I figure if I get into MIT, they'll be able to help me get it to work. Which is kind of naive and ridiculous in retrospect, because as an undergraduate at MIT, I wouldn't be building anything for a couple of years.
But and it is a curiously personal problem to bring to a board of people who are looking for the future. But so you did.
But they admitted me, and so I went.